Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Welcome to another great show. It's your man DJ Big Stu in the building. I have a special guest. They wrote a beautiful book. This is their second book, actually. It's called The Eighth Doll. I want to say the last name right. It's Chris, because I had a lot of problems saying the last name. I want to make sure I say it right. Can you want to say your last name?
Yeah, Rakunis. My name is Chris Rakunis.
Welcome to Beef Stew Radio. Thank you for being here.
Oh, well, thanks, Big Stew. I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
So, The Eighth Doll. Matter of fact, before we even get into that, how long have you been writing?
I've been writing for a couple of years. When I was in college, I actually wrote for the school newspaper, but I didn't really think it was going to be something that was going to take off and be a career, be something that I was going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And then in 2010, there was a big earthquake that happened in Haiti, and I actually went down there on a medical mission trip and delivered some supplies. I was down there for about a week, and when I got back, I ended up writing a book about that experience, and that book got published at the beginning of this year. So all last year I was working with a publishing company to kind of get it out there, and I thought, gee, you know, maybe this will be more than just a one-time deal. Maybe I can write another book about something. So the idea for The Eighth Doll popped into my mind, and I said, well, you know, if they bought one book, maybe they'll buy a second book. So I just kept on writing, and so far I've got both of those books on the market, and I've already finished the third one, and that's going to be coming out soon, too.
The Eighth Doll. Now, let's set up the plot for The Eighth Doll, because it sounds real interesting. I want you to tell the public.
Sure. So, you know, everybody's been talking about this, you know, Mayan prophecy that the world is going to end in 2012, in December of this year. So the book is basically a fictional story, but it uses, real facts, real things from Mayan culture and things down in the Yucatan. And it's basically a murder mystery where somebody has been murdered on the ruins of some old Mayan ruins in a city called Tabil Shaltun. And basically, as this guy gets murdered in this ritualistic way, he leaves a doll behind with the letter eight, or the number eight, painted on it in blood. So this city, Tabil Shaltun, is actually famous among Mayan ruins because there's a big temple there called the Temple of the Seven Dolls. So this guy gets killed, and he leaves this doll behind with this number eight on it, and everybody's trying to figure out, well, what the heck does this eight have to do? What is this eighth doll about? So as the murder investigation goes along, they discover, well, there's some ties with this whole 2012 end-of-the-world prophecy, and so that's what the book is about, is kind of unraveling that prophecy and unraveling what's going on here, and like I said, it's a real fast-paced thriller. I wrote it to be a real page-turner and the type of thing that, like I said, that all of the places and all of the descriptions of what's actually there in the Yucatan, those are all things that I didn't just research. I actually went down to the Yucatan to go and see some of these things for myself. So the book is really, really... takes a bunch of facts, and then I kind of weave this fictional story around it.
Okay, so you said it's facts. So now, did you go out there to make a little bit of, you know, research? You know, even though it's fictional, but you still had to do a little research to kind of intertwine it. So did you go there?
Yeah.
How was that for you?
It was really interesting. It was really cool to be able to go and see some of these ruins because, first of all, you know, you get down to these ruins, and they're big. I mean, they're really impressive. And you realize that these guys built these giant temples and these giant buildings 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. You know, there was a flourishing civilization down there, you know, in what currently is just a bunch of jungle. So you get down there, and you see this stuff, and you're like, man, these are some big temples down here. These guys, this is a pretty powerful civilization. And then, speaking with some of the researchers and some of the people who work around that area, it just was really interesting just to kind of hear not just their take on what was going on in that city, but also just things about the 2012 prophecy and kind of what their take is and really what that whole prophecy means. You know, why is it people think that the world is actually going to end right now?
So do you yourself, do you feel that's the truth, or, you know, when you look at it, are you one of the people that feel the world's going to end in 2012, December?
Well, here's kind of my take on it. There's two things. So first of all, the 2012 prophecy is basically the way that we look at December 31st. You know, our calendar, you probably have a calendar up on your wall right now, and, you know, you flip through the pages, and when you get to December 31st, the calendar's over, right? It's done. You can throw that one away. So if you remember back to, like, December 31st, 1999, you know, we not only had the year ending and the decade ending, but it was kind of this big millennial changeover. That's a lot of what the Mayan prophecy is about, is this is just a big moment in their calendar where it's ending. So that's kind of one piece. There's part of me that just says, you know what? It's just the end of their calendar. You know, you can throw that calendar out and pick up the next one. The only thing that's a little strange about it, one of the things that I realized when I was researching this book, is they actually do say culturally that the world kind of exists for a certain amount of time, and then it gets reborn. So things like ice ages or giant floods, like we have the story of Noah's Ark, you know, there's a giant flood that kind of wipes out the world and humankind starts again. Mm-hmm. Well, those kind of big events do coincide with this part of their calendar ending. So there is a little sliver of me that's kind of interested to see, well, you know, what is it that these guys are predicting? Is it another ice age? Is it a flood? But so far nobody's found anything that said that something's going to happen, just that they think that there's some sort of transformation that's about to happen.
Through your research, did you run into any, like, dangerous situations, like, you know, asking people questions, like you might offend somebody or something like that?
You know, we didn't run into anything dangerous, not for this book. My first book, I had a whole bunch of dangerous stuff that I ran into when I was in Haiti. But for this book, you know, most of the people who were down in the Yucatan and Mexico, you know, that's pretty far away from a lot of the drug problems that are happening up near the border. You know, all the people that I spoke with were just really cool, and they were really, you know, they just wanted to kind of share their culture and share what they know about the Mayans, and then also about what's happening in the Yucatan and modern society. So I actually really enjoyed it. I mean, it was really fun being down there speaking with these people, and you know, the towns and the areas that I mentioned in the book, places like Progreso, they're just neat locations to go to. I mean, it's a beautiful place to see, and like I said, it's filled with tons of history, so it's really interesting.
So you said your first book was a whole different story in Haiti. So, you know, when you was out in Haiti, how was the difference? How was it so much different than when you was out there?
You know, Haiti was just a different story. I mean, I was there a couple weeks after that big earthquake happened, and it was really dangerous. I mean, the U.S. Army was still controlling the airport in Haiti. You know, when we were out on the streets, you know, there were some places where we could see guys who were in the 82nd Airborne who were out there guarding street corners with machine guns. You know, there was a food riot right before we got there where some U.N. Aid workers were killed. So it was not a good situation to be in at all, and that's on top of just the regular issues that you have when you go to Haiti, things like disease and, you know, lack of clean water. You know, there was somebody that we were with who ended up contracting dengue fever, which is a really deadly disease that you can get in the tropics, and he had to be airlifted out of the country. So I mean, there were all sorts of problems. You know, on top of just the work we were doing there and then the environment, at one point in our journey down there, we actually ran into a notorious Haitian warlord who actually kind of took us under his wing for a little bit of the day to offer us some services and help us get through, which was, you know, it's really unsettling when you realize that the people that you're working with, you know, this particular guy was wanted by Amnesty International for crimes against humanity. He's been involved with some mass killings, you know, and this is the guy that I'm sitting here talking to, you know, I'm right next to him, and I'm thinking, God, you know what, how did I get myself involved with this? You know, I'm just, I'm an average Joe, and suddenly I'm hanging out with a warlord somewhere.
So, I mean, while you was doing that, you know, did you ever, you know, I know you had the fear for your life, and, you know, how, you know, did it ever make you change your mind about writing when you was in that situation?
You know, I mean, I won't lie. I would love to say, like, oh, yeah, I'm some really tough, badass guy, and, you know, I wasn't scared at all. But, hey, when stuff is going down like that, you get scared. I mean, you are nervous, and, you know, your heart races, and your palms get sweaty, and, you know, you're just trying to – you're not thinking long term. You're just thinking, how do I get through the next 5 minutes? You know, and honestly, that's part of the reason I even started writing. When I came back from that trip, I had a lot of trouble sleeping. You know, I just kept thinking about these things. And a doctor friend of mine told me, he said, you know, man, if you're experiencing that sort of stuff, you know, one of the best things you can do is actually write it down. And it's kind of a way for you to get it out of your head. You get it down on paper and you'll stop fixating on it. So I started writing some of this stuff down, and, you know, after a while I thought, oh, this might actually make an interesting story. So that's how I ended up writing the first book, which is called Tears for the Mountain. And then once I was done with it, I felt a lot better, and I thought, you know what, man, I can't just write this book and go out there and sell it. You know, I really feel I feel a need to go back and donate this money back to the orphanage where we worked. So that book, a portion of the proceeds go to New Life Children's Home, which is the orphanage in Port-au-Prince where we worked.
Okay. Now, when you write, do you find a need that you must travel to really get into your book, or you could just write anywhere? So far, the two books you wrote, you traveled a lot with these books.
Yeah, you know, I've been really lucky in my life I've worked a lot of jobs that required me to travel all around the U.S., and I've also had the chance just to do some international travel. And I guess there's just a part of me that really loves that. I mean, going out and seeing new things and just kind of all those new experiences. So those books and the next one that I have all involve travel, international travel. But I have a couple other books that I'm going to be writing in the next year or so that come about through things that, you know, travel that I've had here in the U.S. But yeah, I mean, a lot of my work does have some travel element to it.
So now, an up-and-coming writer, what's some of the things you could tell them in getting started? What would be the best way for them to first get started?
You know, honestly, the most important thing is to write. You know, you can't go to a publisher, you can't go to an agent if you don't have a manuscript in hand. So for people who say, you know, and I hear this all the time, like when I go to book signings and stuff, you know, people ask me, oh, you know, what is it that I can do? And I always tell them, look, the first thing you have to have is a manuscript. You have to have a completed work. So spend time writing that and spend time editing that. And then don't get too hung up when you start getting rejected because, you know, my first book, I probably sent out 500 query letters to different publishers and, you know, all but a handful of them got rejected. So, it, you know, to a certain degree, it's kind of a numbers game. I mean, you have to put yourself out there over and over again and keep getting rejected. But, you know, that's part of the game. I mean, anybody who's in any form of entertainment, you know, regardless of whether it's writing or they're an actor or a musician, they all say the same thing, you know. You just keep putting yourself out there and you keep getting shot down, and eventually it'll stick, but, you know, you got to keep doing it. And writing's not any different. I mean, you have to just keep writing and keep writing, you know, before you really have some people who are going to be kind of noticing the stuff that you're doing.
Not like, say, like an artist may have a manager, a rap artist or a soul artist or, you know, pop artist. They'll have a manager. What would an author have? You know, what would somebody they could look at in that same role?
Yeah, a lot of authors actually have agents, and they'll do stuff. They'll have their agents will deal with publishers for them, and they'll also deal with booking. Sometimes if you're like Stephen King or you're somebody who's major, you know, they might have some big signings or some big events where they're going to make appearances, and they'll handle all of the details. But mostly that just frees up the writer to spend their time actually writing, and somebody else can deal with the business side of things.
What about putting out a book, like independent writers? There's a lot of writers that's putting out their own books. Would you advise that?
You know, I have split feelings about self-publishing. You know, it kind of depends on whether you want to do it for a living or, you know, whether it's just kind of a side thing that you want to be doing. You know, there's about 200,000 books that get published through publishers every year. There's about 2 million books total that come out, so that means that the rest of those are self-published. So if you just want to have a book and, you know, either you want to sell it on your own or you just want to say that you wrote it, there's nothing wrong with self-publishing. But really, self-publishing is useful for people who are already big. I mean, like, Stephen King can self-publish a book and 20 million people are still going to go buy it. You know, mm-hmm. it's the same as having, like, a big-name musician. Like, if Jay-Z wants to print his own CDs or he wants to put his own album out there, he already has an audience. Like, he knows he's already going to sell 5 million copies of it, you know, versus the guy who's, you know, a brand-new DJ who doesn't really have a big following. He's going to have to go out there and hustle on the streets and get people to buy his album. It's the same thing for writers. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you self-publish, you don't have anybody behind you who's helping to sell it. You have to go around and try and sell your book. And it's pretty hard. I mean, there's not a lot of literary hustlers out there. I mean, there's not, you don't see people standing on the corner saying, hey, man, do you want to buy this novel that I just wrote? I mean, that's not something that you ever see. So, although maybe because you don't ever see it, there's a niche for that. You know, maybe somebody could do it and be the first person.
Now, just like, oh, I'm sorry, Ma, I got my co-host, Kay Nicole. She just walked in the building. I'm sorry. Kay Nicole's in the building.
I just want to ask, like, you know, when they do publish, like, some people, I know a person that started off trying to publish and he just felt like he was getting a run around, period. So then he started doing his own, I guess he, you know, took up a class and learned how to do his own publishing stuff. He's not doing too bad, but he is out there independent. What do you say to the ones, like, what do you tell them to look for, you know, and the type of scams that's out there for people?
If you're, like, for people who do want to self-publish and they want to do their own thing, I mean, you have to be very marketing and sales savvy. You know, you have to know how to go out there and sell your book. And you have to be willing to put your own, you know, put time into it because there's not somebody else out there selling it for you. So, you know, you just have to be smart and you have to be working, you know, you have to be willing to work on it. And you have to realize that in that sales process, you're going to have days where you don't sell any copies and you're going to have days where you sell all of your copies. And you just kind of emotionally, you have to be strong enough to deal with that sort of stuff.
No, I wanted to know what would you tell anybody that's dealing with somebody that they feel like they might be scamming around? What should they look for? Somebody scamming them with their book?
Yeah, so you do come across publishers who will say, like, oh, we'll publish your book if you give us $500, or agents who will say, I'll represent you if you give me $1,000. You know, in the publishing world, people who are legit, they don't ever ask you for money. Mm. So there's no need for you to, like, buy copies. There's no need for you to pay for any sort of services. I mean, when you go to a legit publisher and they say, we're interested in your book, send us a copy of your manuscript, there's not any sort of fee that's associated with it. They don't have reading fees. They don't do anything like that. So it's all in the up and up. When people start saying, oh, I'll do this for you, but it's going to cost a fee, like you're going to have to pay cash up front, that's always your first signal that there's some sort of scam that's going on, that whoever's involved, they're not legit, so you probably stay away from it.
When you first wrote your first book as a new writer, did you yourself go through a lot of ups and downs that you wish you never, and made a lot of mistakes that you wish you never made back then?
You know, there were things that I did, like there were things that I did that were dumb that I didn't even realize they were dumb at the time. You know, I don't have like a degree in English. I'm not a literary sort of guy. So there were just some really basic things. Like, I remember I sent out letters to publishers and I kept talking about the novel that I wrote. And finally one of them wrote back to me and just said, hey man, a novel is a work of fiction and a book is nonfiction. So if you write a nonfiction book, you can't call it a novel because they're two different things. And I didn't know that. So I sent out hundreds of letters to people just sounding like a fool, and, you know, I didn't know any better. So, you know, every industry has its own lingo, and you have to learn it as you go along. So, you know, now that I've gone through this process twice, there's lots of words and terms that the publishers use that I'm like, oh, okay, I know to use those types of things when I'm talking with a publisher or an agent or somebody else. But, you know, at the beginning, I didn't know that stuff. It's not like I took a class in it or somebody ever told me, oh, here's how this industry works.
So what, like, when you did get turned down, what made you know that your book was still good? What made you just keep going? Because, you know, some people, like you said, you've been turned down by a few. Some people will stop after maybe one or two, maybe even three, and might even think that this is not for them. What kept you in it? What was it that kept you going?
You know, part of it was I knew that, you know, I've read stuff about other authors, and I mean like really famous people who have said, oh, yeah, I got rejected 100 times, 200 times, 300 times. So I knew going into it, it was not going to be like, oh, I'm going to send out five letters and, you know, four of them are going to write back and say, oh, we love your book. So first was just kind of the mental preparation of, hey, you're going to get a lot of rejection letters. You know, if you send out 1,000 letters, I expect 990 rejections to come. So that was one part of it. The other part was, you know, about 85% of the rejections that I got were just kind of form letters, you know, just automated, like, sorry, we don't want this. But I did get a bunch of rejections from people who said, hey, this sounds like it's a really good story. Like, this sounds like it'd be an interesting book. I might even go out and buy this book once it gets published, but it's just not what our publishing house does. So I didn't realize it at the very beginning, but publishing houses are a lot like record labels. You know, you have to find the right record label for a musician. You know, if you play jazz, you're not going to go to like a hard rock label. You have to go find a jazz label somewhere.
The type of
book that you write, you have to go find a publisher that publishes those types of books. So I didn't realize that at first. I mean, again, it's not like anybody, you know, kind of tells you that stuff. So there were publishers who wrote back and they were like, hey, man, we just do, you know, books about vampires. You know, we just do Harry Potter books. You know,
that's something I never knew either.
Yeah.
I didn't know you have to have a, you know, I thought you could go to whatever publishing. I understand the one that's the best one. I know you're trying to go there first, but I didn't know that they have a different setup like that.
Yeah, and a lot of it also just has to do with kind of the feel within the industry that publishers are like, well, hey, we think this type of book is selling right now, so that's what we're looking for. Even if in the past they've done something else, they may just kind of change their mind. So, you know, and it's the same thing for music and TV and movies. They're like, hey, whatever we think is going to sell is kind of what we're after. And you don't necessarily know what that is. It's not like they say, you know, oh, I'm looking for this specific type of book. You just have to have some sort of inside knowledge of the industry, I guess. I mean, I just went the numbers route, and I said, hey, if I write to 500 people, you know, one or two of them are just by chance are going to be kind of interested. So let's just do that.
So can you give us a sneak preview of what's your next book going to be like?
Yeah, so the book The Eighth Doll kind of, you know, follows these characters in Mexico as they're unraveling this mystery. And it's the first of a 4-book series. So I've actually finished the second book in the series, and it's about them going to Thailand and working through a jewel heist that happens in a town called Pattaya Beach in Thailand. And the characters end up having to go out into the jungle, kind of on the border of Burma, and they have some further adventures out there as they're trying to unravel this jewel heist that happened.
So have you already went to Thailand, or are you on your way to Thailand?
This is probably the one book. One of my best friends actually lives in Thailand, so, you know, he and I have been talking about it over the last year or so. So I got a lot of detail. You know, and also, you know, just stuff like Facebook, believe it or not, it really helped out with writing, because you can look at your friend's pictures and you can say, oh, wow, that looks really interesting, that looks really interesting. And in a book, you can describe a lot of that stuff that you're seeing, you know, just through pictures and just through other people's stories. So I actually will be in Thailand next year, but I'm pretty sure the book is going to be all finished with editing by that point.
Okay.
So now you have one book, this is your second book. This is now newfound passion?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I really enjoy doing, and I probably have about maybe a half dozen other books that I've already outlined. So kind of my writing process, you know, I come up with a general idea for some sort of story, and then I actually write maybe a 30 to 40 page outline for that book. and then I sit down and I actually write the actual book. So there have just been places that I've been or stories that have popped into my head where I'm like, oh, man, that would really, really be a cool story to read. Like, I would love to read a book that's about that. So I'll sit down and spend a couple of days just writing the outline, and then when I get the time, I mean, it takes a couple of months to sit down and start at the beginning of an outline and write, you know, 200, 300 pages on that same story. So then when I get the time, I'll burn through that entire outline and finish the book. So that's kind of my
process. Oh, sorry, cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Are you just like, I may have missed out on something that you might have told DJ Smoothies. Are you just starting out as, I can't even put in the word.
Well, she's just getting here late for work, so she don't got her stuff together, as you can see. But can you tell anybody where, you know, they could get some of your, where they could get your work, anybody that's listening to this show?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So for people who are interested in reading about it, or, you know, reading any of these books, you know, they're for sale on big retailer sites like Amazon.com and Barnes and Noble.com. For your listeners who are in other countries, there's a site called BookDepository.com that does free worldwide shipping. The books are all available in paperback, and then they're also available in ebook copies. So if you read it on a Kindle or a Nook or an iPad or anything like that, you can buy electronic copies as well. And for anybody who wants to kind of hear about, you know, things as they're going on, kind of what the next books are that are coming out, I love talking with fans on my Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/ChrisRakunis, as the easiest way to connect with me and just kind of stay up on, you know, whatever it is that I'm writing and whatever it is that, you know, appearances that I'm doing and stuff like that.
Now, any of your books you plan on making a movie?
So that's a whole separate business right there, is just turning books into movies. And, you know, obviously if some studio came along and said, hey, we'll give you $10 million for one of your books, I wouldn't say no to that. But, you know, that's something that's driven more by the movie side than it is by the book side. I think every author in the world would love to have their book turned into a movie, but that's not my choice. But,
all right. Well, I want to thank you, Chris Rakunis. I said it right this time, right?
Yep.
Yes, Chris Rakunis. Thank you, author of The Eighth Doll. And it sounds like a real hot book, and you know, I'm definitely going to check it out. You know, and you know, when, you know, come back to us, man, when you do them other joints, because we definitely want to keep it going, because you seem like you write some real interesting books. Stay in touch.
All right, man,
with us.
I will, absolutely. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on the show once again.
All right, thanks.
All right, man, y'all take care.
All right. Once again, Beef Stew Radio, you know how we do. We always bring somebody that, you know, we ain't just a hip-hop show. We bring a lot of stuff to you. Even though K. Nicole was late for work, had her stuff messed up, Mr. Chris Rakunis brought, you know, a nice book. You know, I'm feeling that. You know, that book is kind of strange, kind of different. You know what I mean? And, you know, so you got to get out there and read, y'all. Make sure y'all read, y'all vote, y'all do all that. You got to do it. You got to do it. It got to be done. Somebody got to do it. Make sure. That's what I told
definitely
y'all.
Definitely read, man. Definitely keep on your reading, people, because tell me y'all know who you are. You can get a read or two in.
Can I ask you something? Are you feeling well, too, today?
I'm feeling well. I'm just a little disheveled over here. I'm getting it together.
Because, I don't know. You doesn't sound like you're feeling well.
Big shout out to Prince for coming on the show today. That's
yeah. A big shout out, folks, for you getting here.
I'm in the
field. I'm glad that you're here.
K. Nicole, I'm here.
You just don't, you know, nowadays you just don't work on Fridays.
Who you hold me down one Friday?
No, you weren't even here Friday, and you come late today.
I was away for the weekend, you already know.
You had a what?
I was away for the weekend, you already know.
All right, whatever. Mate, you supposed to, you know, get the bus get you here on time. Anyway.
I'm here.
We're going to get into some music, you know. We're going to get into some nice R&B, some nice stuff. We in the building. I hear echo.
Beach New Radio.
Yeah, I hear echo. Is that you with the echo?
Is it me?
Yes, that is you with the echo. I don't hear the echo.
Hello?
You don't hear the echo now. You don't hear the echo now.
All right, try now.
We good. Right. Let's get into some music. K. Nicole's late. She's fucking.
Yeah.
We in the building. Beach New Radio. You know how we do it. Time to take it to the top. If you with me, everybody, clap your hands. If you with me, it's DJ, Big Stu. They don't do it like I do. This is how I do. Come on, come on, come on.
Hoping rings. She's my favorite baby.
From the east to the west side, get it, girl, that's right. Let's ride.
I beat the pussy up. I beat the pussy up. I beat the pussy up.
Cause I know she really need it. Yeah, I get away. Wetter than she ever been. Now she's telling me that she gonna tell all her friends. I'm like, okay, bring them all along. As long as I can stick my tongue in between the thumb. Yeah, I'm nasty, I know you like it. Lick the bottom lip, baby girl, you gon' bite it. Yeah, I go deep, I love her from the back. Arch that back, make that ass clap. Make the pussy squirt. Yeah, I got stroke, tell me where it hurts. Spread them legs, little mommy, while she work. Tell me what it is, show me what it could be. Pussy on my lips, juice box tastes good to me. Put it on my tongue, fill me on up. Put it in your gut,
I beat the pussy up. I beat the pussy up.
Grown when I did it, she told me, lick it, I did it, yeah. Sexy, dang, enough to make a nigga go crazy, man, do crazy, now we get to touching and touching, we get to licking and sticking, now you know what we doing, when you're around and we missing, we go to perfect positions, we get it popping, I listen too much pleasure, the message, she got the power to be, make her wanna get to me in the major way, jackpot, jump shot, a nigga fade away, I mean, way away, I be on that elite shit, that HBK, heartbreak, kid, freak shit,
like a free fall, big wood, thicker than a tree log, how to bouncing on the dick like a seesaw, baby, I'm raw, I got old use protection, and we can get it right here in the VIP session, I wanna fuck you right here like Irk say, Mr. Ice with the cream, no dessert, play, scream my name, baby, I'm Skipper, just one dish, gotta reach it for my zipper, it's down, I'm a dicker, you can pick her up or I'll deliver, panties in the way, if the new one, I'ma rip them, I go hard in the paint, boyfriend mugging all hard cause you can't. 91 premium, all in the tank. I deposit that dick, I call it a sperm bank.
I beat the pussy up. I beat the pussy up.
Gotta go old school with me. Still keep it so 2012. for me, cause I still beef it up.
And still I want you to know,
got the sweetest heart. And even though he can ride a coupe for me,
he gon' have to work hard.
And now I see you got what I want, that's just half the part. Gotta feel what you put on it to make sure you're the one. If you put it down right, like the way I want,
put it down, down, keep on.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
Put it down, keep on falling love. I'ma put it down, down, keep on.
If you put it down, maybe we can fall in love.
Girl, you know, with all this money and all your cake, girl, you better stop, I got a big ego. I'm sipping on that brandy, that liquor comes in handy. And girl, I know you fancy, but this party I'm financing. You told me it ain't even like that. Been hating all night, a friend up tight, alright. I took her out the club, told her girl she be right back. Back to the crib, and in the morning all this was worth it. Baby, go get your hair did, then buy you a couple purses. You just perfect.
I'ma put it down, you can fall in love.
If you put it down right, like the way I want it, play a card right, maybe we can fall in love. If you put it, put it, put it, if you put it, put it.
Big money vision, Sammy Sosa pigeon. What that mean? That like me, they jumping out the kitchen. And I'm on the money mission. Nobody can stop me. Just grab your camcorder, press record, and go on and watch me. And you can skate on my ice just like you playing hockey. And in the booth, I beat the beat up. Call me Rocky, yeah, I'm cocky. Ooh. 36 oh, so round, round with that Nina. Ride with a hoe named Keisha, smoking on Keisha. My diamonds talk for me, they say, how can I meet you?
How can I meet you?
G5, I'm high in the sky, hoe, I can't see you. Got a condo on my wrist, girl, I'm catching
eye.
Got a condo round my neck, girl, I'm catching
eye.
36 oh, so round, round with that Nina. My diamonds talk for me, they say, how can I meet you?
DJ Big Stu, DJ Big Stu.
I just want to thank God for all the pretty women he led into my life. All the Benjamins he led to count. Wealth and health for my family. And let me fall on these niggas.
Man, it's a lot of bad bitches in the building. Hey, amen. A couple real niggas in the building. I'm finna kill niggas in the building. Amen. I tell her way to 50 bottles and she tell me say when, and I say church.
Preach.
We make it light up like a church.
Preach.
She wanna fuck and I say church.
Preach.
You live on Sunday like a church.
I'll preach.
Bottle after bottle.
Bottle.
Drink until I overdose. Pull up in the fan and watch them bitches catch the Holy Ghost. Every time I step up in the pillar, I be gone, bro. Get on top and roller coaster, I lay back. She go crack, fuck me good, but she no stay. Murder on that pussy, let her boyfriend get that DOA. Get it? And all I get is Frito-Lay. Plus I'm on probation when they test me, I just be rosé. Last night, I went hard, pizza rock, Patron and all. Third racks on Madam Bottles, I think I was born to ball. Looking like a million plus, fresh from out that corner star. Hater, I be doing me, you guys should be doing y'all. I'm stacking money to the ceiling. All this ice that's in my rollie, I be chillin'. And I just made a couple million, so I can take care of the children. A lot of bad bitches in the building. Amen. A couple real niggas in the building. Amen. I'm finna kill niggas in the building. Amen. I tell her way to 50 bottles and she tell me say when, and I say church.
Preach.
We make it light up like a church.
Preach.
She wanna fuck and I say church.
Preach.
You live on Sunday like a church.
Yeah. Preach.
Just bought my niggas some cane, so much it came with a plane. Bought my niggas some dope, so much it came with a boat. I just bought me a crib, so big it came with a moat. For niggas jump in the fence, I hope you niggas can float. And I just hope that I'm forgiven for caring about how they living and loaning a little money and keeping them out of prison. I ain't lying in my verses, I'm just telling you the basics of growing up with your friends and becoming the one that made it. Yes, Lord, all gold, man, I got these bitches sold. Talking about these other rappers getting noticed, even getting no. Worry about your followers, you need to get your dollars up. Me and me, young niggas popping like our collars up. And good ain't good enough, and your hood ain't hood enough. Spend my whole life putting on, you spend your whole life putting up. Ain't no telling when I go, so there ain't shit that I'ma wait for. I'm the type to say a prayer and then go get what I just pray for.
A lot of bad bitches in the building. Woo. Amen. A couple real niggas in the building. I'm finna kill niggas in the building. Amen. I tell her way to 50 bottles and she tell me say when, and I say church.
Preach.
We make it light up like a church.
Preach.
She wanna fuck and I say church.
Preach.
You live on Sunday like a church.
I'll preach.
Lord, forgive me for my sins. I'm just tryna win it. She a devil in that dress, but if she knock, I let her in. And if she knock, I let her in. And 3 o'clock, you wear the kid, I'm screaming, oh Lord. That pussy good, I'm trying to hold on. I wish I could, you think I should, you got that $1 million body. Shorty, my Bugatti, and she said she got a man, we keep a secret, Illuminati. It's a rock all in my bottle. She was on that.
to kill niggas in the building. Amen. I tell her way to 50 bottles if she tell me stay winning. I say church.
Preach.
We make it light up like a church.
Preach.
She wanna fuck and I say church.
Preach.
You live on Sunday like a church.
I am pumping on that gas. Life should be on Cinemax. Movie. Bought my boo. Bigger tits and a bigger ass. Who he's not I. I smoke strong, not pie pie. Louis V's in my archive. Black diamonds are part time. Bread up in my top down.
Down.
On the block with a block out. Hit your ass with that block out. Jumping up and going your nostril.
Yeah.
I take your girl and kidnap her. Feed her to my mattress.
Mattress.
A skeleton in my closet.
Glass.
It's probably when he's dead at rap. It's probably when he puts a nigga.
Nigga.
Don't try me, I pull that trigger.
Fire.
Got your car note in my cup.
Cool.
And your rent in my swisher.
True.
That foot so good, I miss you. Head game so vicious.
Fish.
And all I get is cheese. Like I'm taking pictures.
I say fuck you unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real niggas won't miss you. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. Real niggas say word, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie, real niggas say word. You ain't never told no lie, you ain't never told no lie. Real niggas say true, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie, that's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the niggas that are trying to see a million for they die. What up? Two chains and champagne, you want? True, that's true enough.
Yeah.
Forbes list like a year. My office is my tour bus. She came through, she brought food, she got fucked, she knew what's up. She think I'm the realest out, and I say, damn, that makes two of us.
Damn.
Oh, that look like what's the name? Chances are it is what's the name? Chances are if she was acting up, then I fucked her once and never fucked again. She could have a Grammy, I still treat her ass like a nominee. Just need to know what that pussy like, so one time it's fine with me.
Yeah.
Young ass, an intern,
intern.
With money like I built the shit. Streets talking, that's confirmed. Go ask them who just kept shit. Stay keeping my cup full, so I'm extra charged like a state tax. Me and Chains go way back, we don't talk shit, we just say facts. Yes, Lord. I say fuck you unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real niggas won't miss you. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. Real niggas say word, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie, real niggas say word. You ain't never told no lie, you ain't never told no lie. Real niggas say true, you ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie, that's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the niggas that are trying to see a million for they die. What up?
Name a nigga that wants some, I'll rap. Trap his ass out, trap his ass. Put his ass in a plastic bag with his trash ass. Take him out,
yikes.
Bring him in, them whole things. Tupac without a nose ring. Thug life, one wife, a mistress, and a girlfriend. I did what they say I wouldn't.
Yo.
Went where they say I couldn't.
True.
YSL belt buckle. Y'all niggas show it looking. Y'all niggas show it lacking. Two chains on my rugby. Left hand on that steering wheel. Right hand on that pussy.
Yeah. I say fuck you unless I'm with you. If I take you out of the picture, I know real niggas won't miss you. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. No lie, no lie, no lie, yeah, yeah. Real niggas say word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real niggas say word. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. Real niggas say true. You ain't never told no lie. You ain't never told no lie. That's the thing I don't do. Nah, I just do it for the niggas that are trying to see a million for they die. What up?
DJ Big Stu. DJ Big.
Yeah.
your ex couldn't beat it. I hit it like a free throw. And since I lost some weight, you say I got a big ego. It's too strong. You said the drive stick, well baby just peel off. Loving how it lasts long, leave the sheets gushy. Fuck you with the mask on, Halloween pussy. Your body shivers and trembles with each and every stroke. Pussy wetter than
don't
ever, enough to sink a boat.
Afterwards, an online poll asked kids to make
their business. And, you know, this is what they say, according to Fox. His decision was disappointing because answering the kids' questions directly showed respect for several million kids who will vote in Nickelodeon's Kids Pick the President campaign. That several million kids who actually want to get involved in the democratic process. This is said by one of the champion ladies, Ellaby, you know what I'm saying? Said, you know, they don't deserve to be this, but, you know, former Governor Romney also blew off David Letterman and Big Bird. So I guess they said that, yes, they're in good company. And, you know, just like always, the Romney campaign did not immediately respond to the emails and the phone requests or comments for the special. You know, Obama still did questions regarding gun controls, jobs, illegal immigration, same-sex marriage, and bullying. He also was asked about his most embarrassing moment. And, you know, and just for that, Obama gets props, you know, again, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what it is, man. And we sure the president got a video scheduled in St. Ron. You know what I'm saying? We know that. That's my name. That's what they say when I say something that's hot. Got some more news for y'all, man. Things is crazy. Things is crazy. Now, this thing right here is real crazy. In Florida, a free convict popped for a second time, breaking into the same barn to chop down his favorite horse. This guy right here. Patrick Quinn. Just didn't have the horse sense to stay away from Alan McDermott's barn. Lynn, 44, was arrested last week for allegedly breaking into the Gadsden County, Florida barn and having sex with the horse. This guy's crazy. He had sex with the horse. This is something else that bosses. Shout out to bosses on my people. I like when they be getting some stuff. It's the exact same thing he was busted for in 2010, except this time it was a different horse. This cat, last time he had a regular horse, now he had a stallion named Sonny. This dude is crazy. Oh my god. It's crazy, like the horses was like, oh my god, it's like they the horses used to have here. You know, his wife used to find spare lubricants on the doors, the stores, the barn, you know? Oh my god, this is crazy. This is crazy. Well, somebody else thought this, but they say the guy's wife used to find lubricants on the barn. This is tube of lubricants for a further investigation. The German checked the surveillance camera, and sure enough, there he was going into the store. He told him, he called the cops to arrest the living charge of a verbal trespassing and sex act with an animal. He's now being held on $47,500 bond. $47,500 bond. Wow. He was just released from prison in May after serving 2 years for breaking into McDermott's house and violating one of his other ones. This is crazy. He already knew the surveillance camera tapes were wrong. That's how he got caught the first time. He likes the, like, you know, he got a fetish for getting caught up with him and sleeping with a whore. That is crazy. That is nuts. I mean, that is nuts. I want everybody to know about that. Like, how can you do that? Sleep with a horse. Twice he got caught two times. You know? He got two times. That's crazy. Came across for the guy, man. She be late, she be off her game all day. She always telling me to do something, you know? And I said, you know, I'm trying to get back into some of the more news, and Kay Nicole is bothering me. She's all late, just to bother me, you know what I'm saying? She's all late right there. Let me do what I gotta do. You know what I'm saying? Let me get back into some more news. You know what I'm saying? Before she's so rudely interrupt me. Now we got another thing up by the Detroit, you know, police chief. The dirty dog died. Kwame Kilpatrick. He ain't the only one. Detroit politics out there has been smeared by yet another scandalous city official. This time the police chief, Ralph Gotti, has officially retired after three minutes of Twitter and put his ass on blast. So you know, he put his ass on blast. The Detroit chief embroiled in not one, not two, but three sexual scandals, has retired, but not before his former lover took to the media and aired a couple of dirty laundry. Chief Gridley was suspended last week after one of his alleged mistresses tweeted incriminating pictures and statements about her relationship with the chief. Gotti allegedly had an affair with Officer Angela Angelica Robinson, an unnamed woman, and another officer lieutenant who he had. Wow. In a bizarre coincidence, right? Gotti's professor, Chief Warren Evans, his boss, was forced to resign after also having a deal with the same girl, Patterson. Damn, Patterson get around. I don't mean to say it like that. Well, he had three girls, but Patterson, this is a crazy thing. Wherever they at, whatever police station they at, they having a lot of sex over there. Because, okay, this lady Patterson had an affair and his boss was forced to resign before he became the chief. The chief before him was forced to resign from having an affair with Patterson. So why would you go back with this lady, man? After your boy, you know your boss, the dude you took his place, lost his job to this woman. This is crazy. This is Detroit. You know what I mean? Robinson last week, who called herself the ex-chief's former lover, while he's a sex addict, Robinson say. He loves sex with all different women. One woman does not satisfy him. Robinson says she tweeted the startling pictures of herself with her police issue Glock in her mouth because she believed Gotti was attending a conference with another woman. Oh, she did him dirty and tweeted him. Yep. And she said, and I tweeted him, and I was like, oh, so now you trying to kill me? You're going to kill me for myself so I can be quiet? Because I could be quiet because you don't want me talking, really, Robinson said. And God be retired. Effectively, he was only 2 years in the top spot. Oh, she broke him down. She has a picture with her gun in her mouth, you know. Oh, these women are crazy. These women is crazy. They have both women. These is cops. They don't even look like cops. They look like strippers. I'm telling you. They ain't arresting nobody. You dirty dog. It's crazy, man. You know, this is Beef Stew Radio. This is your man, DJ Big Stew. I search all type of joints, find something. Something. Now, this is something they got over here that says, I bet you didn't know the secrets behind the making of Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Should I tell y'all that? I'm going to tell y'all that. Then I'm going to get back into some more music. Rock the house a little more. Speech through radio. DJ Big Stu. K. Nicole is not doing tiddly diddly da diddly diddly squaw. Y'all know that? Can I tell y'all that? Can I say that on television live? She's not doing diddly diddly squaw. I just want everybody to know that. You know? She was late. Remember, y'all remember Friday? Y'all remember Friday. Everybody that listened to Beastie Radio, y'all remember Friday. Anyway, bet you didn't know the secrets behind the making of Why Do Fools Fall in Love. It's not every day you come across a good musical by, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, that had Lorenz Tate, who, you know, a lot of people feel he's far underrated. And you know, there's a lot of times people said they thought he was Frankie Lyman. You know, so he acted real good. He had you believing he was a real Frankie Lyman. When it came to the women cast, Frankie Lyman Wild, there was heavy hitters. Vivica Fox's career definitely was on the upswing after starring in Independence Day alongside Will Smith. Lila Roshan was in Boomerang and had just completed the box office smash Waiting to Exhale. And though Halle Berry had yet to win the Oscar, she didn't win yet at the time, she was steady becoming a big name in the industry. But the cast might have looked a bit different if Toni Braxton's schedule hadn't been so jam-packed in the 90s, you know? The people in the production wanted her to play the role of one of the wives, but everything else she had going on, she couldn't swing it, you know? So that was crazy. So I wonder who would not, they, you know, because everybody else, they probably would have did Lila Roshan. You know, I don't know. Maybe she might have did it. Who knows? As you know, Why Do Fools Fall in Love with Lucy, based on Frankie Lyman's life, and while it may seem hard to believe that the foolish, boyish-looking man was married to three women at the same time, in the 1980s court case that later inspired the former Days of Our Lives actress Tina Andrews to write the screenplay through the studio, picked up the screenplay with 24 hours after she submitted it. And picked up the screenplay with some sort of 24 hours that's meant the movie would eventually take 15 years to make it to the big screen. Tina also wrote the screenplays for Dreamgirls and Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Didn't do as well as anticipated in the theaters, and you know, the studios would stop for production of course till later. You know, it took 15 years to make this movie, y'all. Some people might not even care, like, well, so what? I don't care. It took 15 years, so what's so good about that? But we're going to continue on and find out the real truth of what's going down. You know, I'm digging through the files now, you know, doing my research. Because Kay Nicole's sitting over there doing nothing, you know what I'm saying? And that's just how we go here at Beef Stew Radio sometime, you know. Sometime I feel like we're more than Joe. You know, I still start treating her like Mika. Don't let it. Now, knowing what Michael Jackson looked like in the latter part of his life, it was seen that casting him for the role would have been completely out of question. But considering that the screenplay was written the same time in the 80s, Michael was still looking black then. Even still, Frankie Lyman was pretty short, and Michael didn't have the body, or most likely didn't even the acting chops to put up. So they're trying to tell you that they wanted Michael Jackson instead of Lorenz Tate to do this part. But I don't know. Yeah, I guess he wasn't, you know, he couldn't play a guy who had a bunch of wives. It wouldn't have looked like. I got one. Hey, Frankie, what, I'm crying. Tito, give me some tissue. He'd be crying in court. Michael Jackson make that movie about him. It wouldn't even be about Frankie Lyman's life. Back then, White Mike was the man calling shots. After his role of Minister to Society, Lorenz Tate was the babyface thug's butt. He wanted to completely shift his image and role of Frankie Lyman, but doesn't mean people didn't have their doubts. Here's what Vivica Fox had to say about him playing the root. When I first got the script, one of the first questions was, I asked her who was going to play Frankie Lyman. Vivica Fox says, when they said Lorenz, I was like, old dog? But the thing I enjoyed about working with Lorenz the most was that he was playing the teenager he directed. He dedicated shaving off his mustache, and then when it became a drug addict, he totally sacrificed himself physically and mentally and put his contacts in his eyes and stains his teeth and didn't want to sugarcoat it. And as an artist, that's what I appreciate. That's crazy. Excuse me. Once in a while, I sip on some yak. Took a strong shot right now. Old Dog is from Minister Society, yes. Following that, who's the director? Following the success of another musical by Selena from the year before, 1997, Gregory Nava seemed to like a shoe in direct Why Do Fools Fall in Love. The movies were filmed so close to each other that, you know, the same technical crew that worked on Selena was virtually the same crew that worked on Why Do Fools Fall in Love. Ain't nothing like the yak, baby. Especially when your partner's sitting on a yak doing nothing. Big shout out to the crew just finishing some more movie shoots. I think next week it's going to be maybe a week and a half, some days. Going to be the debut of the very first true episode. We got the trailer out now. True episode of the, you know, East Side Story, the true story. Names have changed. Miss Jane Pittman. The film takes place over 3 decades, but instead of hiring an older actress, the makeup artist just aged Fox. Right? Fox, Rashawn, and Barry. The women jokingly and seriously thought the makeup artist went too far. Here's what Layla and Hallie had to say about the makeup. It was awful. I think they went too far, claims Layla. We look like Miss James Pittman as Holly Berry. They didn't like the makeup. Maybe that's, but women, that's how y'all gonna look. That's how y'all gonna look like in a couple more years. Now, what did the wives think of the movie? There were some very real portrayals of the wives in this movie. Vivica Fox, who played the role of Elizabeth Mickey Waters, was a prostitute at one point, supporting Frankie's drug habit. Holly Berry portrays Zola Taylor, a singer, and Lila LaRochon, a school teacher. Though Frankie had long since passed away, the wives were still living when the movie was released, and some had a chance to see the film. Holly said that she didn't reach out to Zola because she didn't want her version of the story to conflict with what Tina Andrews has written. But the woman who plays that Lila Rochon portrayed, Amara Eagle, saw the movie and enjoyed it, even attended the premiere. So that was pretty cool. That means the movie was done good. But y'all make sure y'all protect Big Bird, man. Y'all get out there and vote. All right? Y'all did it. Y'all get out there and vote. So we're going to get back into some more music. As once again, it's your man, Dizzle Bizzle. DJ Dizzle Bizzle on the Rens and Twos. I do what I do. Talk what I talk. Walk what I walk. Like my man RJ would say, I roll like fire through the storm and the rain. I go harder than hard because I'm known for the game. Never take the blame. Never take the shortage. Never take the mortgage. The beef stew. Always eat the turkey sausage. Yeah, yeah, I like that. Let's get into it.
Beef stew.
Throw that away. Let's go.
I can't believe you playing me like
keep
this.
Keep it smooth like that, we are.
After all the love we shared.
This is how we do it.
The good times we've had. Remember?
You with me?
Yeah. Why you worried about that other hoe? Cause that other hoe ain't worried about another hoe. Yeah, you say it's over, but you still fussing. You just clumsy, always tripping over nothing. That other bitch is just that other bitch. I give her space and give you the mothership. We can't let her tell on what we built. I told you if you ride or die, then I'll be your seatbelt. In sickness and in health, for rich or poor, and I stay rich. But love is a bitch, and bitches ain't shit. And I'm riding with a girl named Keisha, smoking on Keisha.
Problem with these rap niggas, they don't know how to play it cool, you know? I mean, there's a time and place for everything.
Been thinking about you
all right now. It's about that time.
Look how you turn
like when you talk to
them.
I mean, you're saying something. Seeing is believing.
Oh, she kissing on me, biting on my bottom lip. In the galleria, all I get is buy me this. Conversations on the phone until the break of dawn. Combination to a home, I gotta make a moan. Mean hustle got me chasing all this fast money. Balenciaga sneakers, now she touching cash money. So sexy in the mall, black Giuseppe heels. 50 sacks in a bag, so she know it's real. Top off the Ferrari, now we thugged out. Smoking on that Cali, bumping Tupac. It's me against the world, now what's your phone number? Jumping in that Range Rover, man, I'm coming over.
Been thinking about you all day. Still can't get my mind off your body. I'm daydreaming about you. Look how you turn me on, baby. Nobody compares to your body. Every time you let me, nobody compares to your body. Yeah.
I think I wanna put a ring on it. I think I wanna tell her name on me. I had a lot of sexy women, but this is not the same for me. Bounce, loving how she always make it bounce. Rose petals on the bed, I walk in unannounced. I love it when she speak a different language. I touch her in so many different angles. Born stunner, and my baby so stunning. Niggas want her, but she find them so funny. I'm getting money, living like the most wanted. She all I ever needed. Now I can sing it.
Been thinking about you.
Champagne for my dime piece. In the sheets, you know I flip her like a nine piece. In the streets, you know I'm eating like a lion feast. Lick a nipple, trying to tickle all the finer things. Keys to the crib, keep it trail, time to handle biz. Big dreamer, new beamer, just the realest nigga. Cover of the sauce, owner of the Porsche. Killing all haters, showing no remorse. Knocking at the door, she recognize the voice. I'm not the mother boy, she know I shine the most. She modeling a lot, I know she on the go. Another bottle, what's the rock, baby, let's have a toast.
Been thinking about you.
Time to
that pussy, bitch.
What you twerking with?
Wallace and I'm a hell smoke, bitch, know that. Filthy rich before rap, new deal, I throw that. Three beans, I'm on that. We pop a Molly, she bust it up. She see the God, that pussy fuck.
What you twerking, man? Shout out to the Inferno. Drop in. Luke, what it do? Let's go. I love my big booty, bitches. My life a godfather picture. Local club in my city. I fell in love with a stripper. Bitches know I'm that nigga. Talking photo Bugatti. I'm the life of the party. Let's get these hoes on the molly. You know I can't stand. So drop that pussy, bitch. I got what you want. Drop that pussy, bitch. Film it, film it. This bitch want me to film it. Ballin', ballin', like I play for New England. Spin it, spin it, spin the stack every minute. At 50, 100, I see no fucking limit. Shout out to Uncle Luke, shout out my bitches too. We the two-life crew, two for me, two for you. Feed them bitches carrot, fuck them like a rabbit. Sorry, that's the habit, smoke a slip it, then I vanish.
Double, make it triple, right? I hope you pussy niggas hate, never make a nickel, right? It's good to make it better when your people make it with you. Money coming, money going, ain't like you could take it with you.
Right.
What's about to be a hit right now? Fuck back then with shit right now. Drop, take care of all the motherfucking crib, and I'm picking up the keys to the bitch right now. OVO, that's major shit. Toronto with me, that's major shit. Getting shed a pack like KD. OKC, that's player shit. We don't dress alike, we don't rap alike. I shine different, I rhyme different. Only thing you got is some years on me, man. Fuck you and your time different. Some young poppy, champagne, they know the face and they know the name. Got one watch that could probably pay for like all your chains. You don't be changed. Greystone, 20 bottles, that's all me. On the couch, wildin' out, yellin' free my niggas till they all free. One of my close dogs, got three kids and they all three. But we always been that type of crew, that been good without a plan B. So.
That shit and suck a nigga dick for some truck fit. Okay, I fuck a bitch and I'm gone. That's gangsta Al Capone. I make that pussy spit like bone. I'm talking about bone, 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 bone. I'm fucking with French, excuse my French. I lose my mind before I lose my bitch. Money ain't a thing but a chicken wing. Bitch, I ball like two eyelids. YMCM beat that pussy up. Stop playing. I make her ass scream and holler like rock bands. I'm a beast, I'm off the lead. I am rich like a bitch on my pro. Shit, pop that pussy like a zit. I go by the name Lil Tonchick. Your girl is a groupie. And nigga, you a square. And I will twist you like an Rubik. Motherfucker, I'm on my skateboard. Watch me do a trick, ho. I'm 5'5", but I can 6'9". Then beat that pussy like Klitschko. It's French Montana, fuck Joe. It's Weezy F, fuck hoes. It's Truck the World, it's Truck your girl. It's Truck hit by the truckload. Yeah.
Tell the DJ turn it up, let the DJ bring it back. Tell him play that shit again, tell him nothing like that, like that. Oh,
Trey, I ain't got but two reasons to be here, man.
All the bottles pop out.
I know it's somebody's birthday right now.
Yeah.
that I ignore. When I wanna be yours, but I slam the door.
Why don't I love?
What kind of man don't understand? The difference between a penny and a dime. Must have lost my mind. You and me was on the grind once upon a time.
Why?